Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel today. In this reading of Matthew 4, verses 1 through 14, Jesus is being tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of Man, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Just one more announcement. Everyone is invited to Lenten soup, supper, and study series throughout the season of Lent. This coming Wednesday, March 4th, will be the first session, and you are invited, 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall. We will be studying, having a discussion study based on this book, Mike Slaughter's Made for Miracles. This book, copies of this book, is available in the patio today after the service. Where are you? Paulette Brugman? Paulette? She's will be helping right there. Okay, thank you. And go see her and get a copy of this book if you have not done so yet. Thank you. As most of you are aware now, the ongoing coronavirus outbreak creates fears and anxieties to the whole world. The coronavirus disease generally shows symptoms of a fever, cough, and breathing difficulties. Complications may include pneumonia and acute respiratory distress syndrome. Researchers worldwide are still working on its vaccine and antiviral treatment. As of yesterday, February 29th, 2020, more than 85,000 cases have been confirmed in nearly 60 countries, of which 8,000 were classified as serious, while at least 2,900 people have died due to the disease. More than 39,000 people have recovered. Even though WHO, World Health Organization, has not officially declared this coronavirus as a global pandemic, yet, as of yesterday, it is seen as a serious threat to the world. According to our Bishop Grant Haggia's letter, dated February 28, on public health, he writes, quote, "We cannot downplay the importance of being prepared and not reacting with panic or fear." Then he urges everyone, especially local church members, he continues, "For now, please consider following the advice in general being given by our own American medical authorities. Seek immediate medical intervention if you develop flu-like symptoms. Stay home if you are not feeling well, and especially if you are coughing. Wash your hands on a regular basis and use hand sanitizers as an alternative. Sanitize those areas with which you have a lot of contact. Most importantly, as people of faith, let us pray for those who have contracted the virus and for our worldwide population that the virus will be contained. Let us turn to our God in faith and let us not succumb to our fears and anxieties. Unquote. In our lives, there are so many things beyond our control, our expectations, or our comprehension. This deadly virus could be one of the many examples, not to mention all kinds of natural disasters and calamities. We don't know. We don't even know what's going to happen in 10 minutes, next 10 minutes, or even 10 seconds. There are just so many situations that we have no choice whatsoever. However, there are always many more situations that we can make our own choices. Because God has given us free will. We have this gift of choice. This morning's Genesis passage chapter 2 and chapter 3, tell us the story of Garden of Eden. The chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge and of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." On one hand, God appears to be like a puppet master, placing a puppet man in the garden. In this sense, God is a supernatural force utilizing control over the first human being. But on the other hand, God gives the man considerable freedom, saying he may freely eat of every tree of the garden except just one. The man can make a range of choices about what he will eat within the lush and fruitful abundance of the garden. Only one tree is off limit. The tree will lead to death for the man. But notice this, even though it is prohibited to him, he is given the power to choose it. The man is free to choose, live or fall. What an amazing creator we have. A God with the confidence to let us make choices. God says humans may freely eat of every tree of the garden except just one. Here is a very important point. God gives us the gift of free choice itself. Only after God has explained the options to us, we can take advantage of them. Only then we can choose to live within certain boundaries. Only a truly powerful God is strong enough to give power to others. Instead of controlling and manipulating us, God grants us total freedom. Wow. God does this out of love, knowing that truly caring parents give their children the freedom they need to explore, experiment, and discover the best direction for their lives. Some overly anxious parents tend to control and manipulate their children in an attempt to keep them on a particular path. Extreme cases we hear from the news could be college admissions, cheating, and bribing scandals. Some years ago, there were helicopter parents and tiger moms. Well, their intentions were good, but too strict. Probably one of the worst parents' cases would be Velcro parents, completely attached to their kids. It's like a dog leash, but for human children. You can see it at Disneyland or SeaWorld or any local park. Many parents using Velcro leash for their children. You know what? Our God is not a Velcro God. Instead, God detaches from us and says, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden except just one. The Lord is clear about boundaries and freedom, knowing that excessive boundaries prevent growth and discovery, while unlimited freedom leads to death. Problem is that we humans do not always make good choices. In Genesis, the first humans are told to eat anything they want within certain limits. Then the serpent in the garden strikes up a conversation with the woman who's been created to be a partner to the man. The serpent, a crafty creature, asks the woman a question that tests the limits of freedom God has given. Did God say? The serpent asks, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden. No, says the woman. We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, except for one. She explains that one tree is off limit. And God said that if you eat of its fruit, you shall die. The woman has a very clear understanding of her freedom and her boundaries, but the serpent tries to tempt her with what she wants to hear. You will not die, the serpent promises, and in this verse, the crafty creature is actually telling the truth. But in predicting that the man and woman will not die, the serpent is sowing seeds of doubt about the truthfulness of what God has told them. The man and the woman are now confused. They are wondering if God has told them the truth. They are questioning if death is really the punishment for disobedience. They are attracted to the idea that they can become like God. They are wondering what it would feel like to fall out of their close, intimate relationship with God. We know what these two are feeling, don't we? The Bible is full of commandments, rules, and regulations, but we wonder if all of them are equally true and binding on our lives today. We know that certain choices are dangerous for us, but we don't think they'll actually kill us. Self-improvement seminars are offered all the time, and everyone wants to be wiser and more self-confident. And how about a relationship with God? Wonderful, of course, but no one wants to be a fanatic about it. So we eat the fruit just as the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, did. The two of them make a completely free choice, and the result is that their eyes are opened and they discover they are naked, feeling ashamed of their nakedness, They sew fig tree leaves together and make loincloths for themselves. So, what is the truth about choice? The story of Adam and Eve tells the truth about human choices. Adam and Eve reveal what life is really like, not in the sense of humans having conversations with serpents, but in the sense that human choices always have significant and lasting consequences. The truth is that we make free choices every day. Choices that draw us closer to God or push us farther away. We are always free to fall out of a relationship with God. So how does God get the humans out of this dilemma? God drives Adam and Eve out of the garden into a life of pain in childbearing, and hard work cultivating the plants of the field. In other words, God ushers them into the life that we know today. We all human beings have been confirmed to be affected by a more deadly virus than the coronavirus. This deadly human virus is called sin. This is indeed the deadliest virus to the humanity. Not a single soul is immune from this sin. 100% of the humanity is being affected and confirmed. 100% mortality. It's more than pandemic. It's everywhere. Everyone and every heart. How can we be healed from this? How can we be cleansed from this? In the Old Testament times, God had tried to help us. God had sent his Bible heroes, leaders, prophets, the laws and commandments for the good living, even Noah's Ark and many other salvation projects turned out to be a failure, not working. So finally and ultimately, God comes to us in human form as Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus calls us to follow him, to trust his word, and to walk in his way, knowing that we are always going to make choices that cause us to fall out of relationship with him. God makes a more lasting and significant choice. He gives his life for us on the cross, showing us how far he will go to be in a relationship with us. Our choices matter, and we will continue to make good and bad choices. But the most important choice in history was Jesus' decision to give his life for us to restore our connection with God. This was the ultimate adjustment in the relationship between humans and their Creator. We have received this gift of choice in life. We are free to fall, but we are also free to trust in Jesus Christ, who brings us back to God. After being baptized and before starting his public ministry, Jesus was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. The devil tempted him. Matthew 4:3 says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus just fasted how many days, how many nights? 40 days and 40 nights, and was famished. But he was not tempted. Instead, he replied in verse 4, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. When the devil, in the form of the serpent, tempted in the Garden of Eden, the first Adam made a wrong choice by saying yes. He should have said no, but he wanted to become like God. Human greed, arrogance, and self-centeredness. As I have mentioned, we have had a wonderful Ash Wednesday joint service last Wednesday. During the Ash Wednesday service, the guest preacher, Reverend Terry Van Hook, said, "Sin can be simply defined as self-interest." So obviously, this self-interest led Adam and Eve into devastating consequences of a harsh reality instead of enjoying in the Garden of Eden happily ever after. On the other hand, when the devil tempted in the wilderness, the second Adam, Jesus, made a right choice by saying no. As the Son of God, he could have made miracles. Turning stones into bread could have been a piece of cake. But he said no. He refused because he did not want to perform any miracles for himself. Especially, he just did not want to deal with the devil. No compromise. Why not? Jesus trusted in the Father more than anything else in the universe. Even though he was starving, he was still able to endure his physical hunger. No problem. But Jesus taught us the importance of feeding on the Word of God. And he chose the spiritual food that will last forever. My brothers and sisters in Christ, today is the first Sunday in Lent. As we are walking in this Lenten season and Lenten journey, let us use God's gift of choice wisely and spiritually. I'd like to conclude my sermon with the following article written by unknown author. Here is it. Quote, "There are many situations that require your no or yes. You say no to drugs because you have said yes to clean living. You say no to revenge because you have said yes to forgiveness. You say no to temptation because you have said yes to self-control. You say no to Satan because you have said yes to the Holy Spirit. You say no to hatred because you have said yes to love. You say no to oppression because you have said yes to justice. You say no to crankiness because you have said yes to kindness." May your Lent be full of blessings, hopes, and love. Thanks be to God. Amen.